running as a proud Democrat, but I will govern as an American president. I'll work with Democrats and Republicans. I'll work as hard for those who don't support me as for those who do. We will act on the first day of my presidency to get COVID under control. We'll act to pass my economic plan that will finally reward work, not wealth, in this country. We'll act to pass my health care plan to provide affordable, accessible health care. And we'll act to restore our faith in democracy and our faith in one another. With our voices and our votes, we must free ourselves from the forces that pull us apart, hold us down, and hold us back. And if we do so, we'll once more become one nation, under God, indivisible, a nation united, a nation strengthened, a nation healed. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Hi, everybody. Eric Crossley here, episode 34, Last Chance for America. I'm sorry, episode 31, but Last Chance for America. We've had a lot going on here, but thanks to me again for today, Ron Arias in Florida, and making a difference. We've had a heck of a year. This is our 31st episode of the year, and Last Chance for America is pretty self-explanatory. We'll talk about that. We just heard from hopefully our future president, who will be announced hopefully by Wednesday. Today is just 3 days before the election, and Joe Biden is speaking throughout the country. Of course, so is Donald Trump. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about our endorsement, which I'm sure you can realize by now, but we'll go to that in our prediction for the election. I want to send out a thanks to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, iHeartRadio, and also to the Washington Post, and to Facebook, and those listening on Twitter, and anywhere else you might be coming from. Our top countries pretty much stay the same. It's the U.S., Canada, number three, the United Kingdom, number four, Germany, and number five, Australia. And thanks again for joining us. This is our last episode before the election. Today is actually Halloween. You might be listening to this right after that, but the election, of course, Tuesday, November the 3rd, a lot going on. We just heard from Joe Biden, who's trying to give a message to everyone that he'll be a president for both parties, for Democrats and Republicans, whereas all we've heard from Donald Trump, of course, is that he's pretty much the president for those who vote for him and support him. So let's take a look, before we do our endorsement and prediction, at some polls. And the polls now, just a few days before the election, are pretty steady. We've been seeing this national average throughout October. This is realclearpolitics.com. It's a composite of several different polling sources showing Joe Biden leading Donald Trump nationally by about 8 points, 51% to 43%. Now, do keep in mind that we go by the Electoral College, of course, which we'll be talking about too. But the polls are looking, compared to even 2016, remember Hillary Clinton won by almost 3 million votes as far as the popular vote goes, but she lost the Electoral College 304 to 227. What we need this time around is for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to win by a huge margin, so there isn't any question. And we're going to make a prediction as far as some of the states go. And there's definitely be some switchovers in states from ones that Donald Trump won just 4 years ago. First of all, let's look at some individual states and polls. Polls from Florida, of course, Florida, Donald Trump won last time. But the latest polls coming in right now, this week, the last week of October, show those 29 electoral votes are up for grabs, but Joe Biden has a close to the margin of error lead, which is anywhere from 3 to 4 points, according to several different polls. The Monmouth University poll shows Biden up by 6 points, 51 to 45. This is among likely voters, by the way. The NBC Marist College poll shows Biden up 51 to 47. And the Quinnipiac University poll shows a closer 45-42. So the average is around 5 points in Florida, but it is looking good right now. Reason to be optimistic in Florida. It's a huge state. And if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris win Florida, they're going to be in outstanding shape. Now, keep in mind, Donald Trump has not led in any high-quality, nonpartisan polls in Florida since mid-September, so about a month and a half. Again, the polls don't mean everything. Keep in mind, Hillary Clinton was expected to win in 2016, according to the polls, and they were wrong. Joe Biden has bigger leads, but there's still no reason to be complacent. Let's talk for a second about Texas. Texas is an interesting state because they have already had more than 9 million ballots cast. 9 million, and that's already more than all of 2016. Right now, polling in Texas is within the margin of error, which is stunning, actually. Democrats don't win Texas very often, that's for sure. The last poll showed Trump up 50 to 48, but that's within the margin of error via CBS News. The state has 38 electoral votes. I would not predict that he'll win Texas. Joe Biden is going to win Florida, but I don't think it would be amazing if he could pull off Texas. But we've had an incident in Texas just yesterday, where the Joe Biden campaign caravan was intimidated by Donald Trump people. And we'll try to tell you more about that later. The lack of police protection and Secret Service protection is quite upsetting. But to be campaigning down in Texas, I've been in Texas and traveled there many, many times. And it can be a very, very intimidating place for a Democrat or a liberal. Now, the CBS News polling data is estimating right now the Electoral College votes 279 to 163 in favor of Joe Biden. And those are fairly solid, according to the polls. We have 96 toss-up votes, electoral votes. So right now it's looking like Joe Biden is comfortably ahead. My prediction is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will win on Tuesday with over 300 electoral votes. How many exactly, I can't tell you, but I can tell you some states that are shocking, to say the least. Arizona, which is a pretty red state right now, is showing Joe Biden up by 6 points, 51 to 45. Georgia is tied. Georgia, a southern red state, that's because of Atlanta and a heavily African-American population. They're showing right around 49-49. Georgia could go either way. I still think Donald Trump will win it, but we'll see. Iowa, I predict Joe Biden will go there. That's 6 electoral votes. Iowa's upset because of the farm policies of the president. Michigan, another key state, a very, very key state at the end. The last last poll shows Biden up by 8 points in Michigan, 53-45. That's 16 electoral votes. I believe Joe Biden will win there. North Carolina, another state that's usually red. Biden is up by 4 points. I'm going to predict that one goes for Joe Biden. Also, Ohio is statistically tied, very much a state that I think Trump will win. And Pennsylvania, which is a huge, huge state that Trump won in 2016, I believe will go to Joe Biden. The bottom line, folks, is it looks like Joe Biden, if the polls are correct, and if we don't see widespread cheating and an attempt to steal the election by Donald Trump and his cohorts on election day, Joe Biden, by this time next week, should be the next president. We'll see how that looks. Now, the WashingtonPost.com shows U.S. Election Project reports Georgia already is at 87% of its 2016 turnout. North Carolina is at 86% of its turnout. Florida and Nevada are at 82%. This was as of yesterday, Friday, the 30th, 82% of their 2016 vote. Montana is a potential sleeper for the Democrats. It is at 91% of its total numbers in 2016. Keep in mind, folks, the heavier the turnout, historically, the better for Democrats. What happened in 2016 was, frankly, a lot of Democrats that voted for Barack Obama 2 times before just simply didn't show up. So that's what's happening there. For the first time in history, It seems likely that the majority of ballots will be cast before Election Day. So far, over 70 million votes have been cast, including mine, by the way, in Maryland. And so keep your fingers crossed on that. We haven't talked a lot about Kamala Harris, but I'd like to have a little listen to her. We haven't, I don't think, played her at all. And hear what she has to say. She, of course, is the, we hope, by this time next week, the Vice President of the United States. Kamala Harris is an amazing person, Senator. And let's go to the tape right now and hear from Kamala Harris, the future Vice President.
This moment will pass. It will pass. And years from now, our children and our grandchildren and others, they will look at us, each one of us. They're going to look in our eyes, and they will ask us, where were you at that moment? And you see, we're going to be able to tell them so much more than just how we felt. Fort Worth, we will tell them what we did. We will tell them what we did. We will tell them on this particular Friday afternoon, on the last day of early voting in Texas, we were sitting in a field hanging out with Kamala. We will tell them, we texted everybody, called everybody, emailed everybody we knew. That yes, we knew we were kind of getting on their nerves, but we also knew they'd get over it. That we reminded people of the path that we are on, that the shoulders upon which we stand, that we reminded people about what is at stake, and that we reminded people about their power. And in this moment where we are dealing with crises, we reminded our friends and our neighbors and our family that you are not alone. Don't let anyone make you feel small. That you are big, you are strong, you have power, and at election time, that power will be through your vote. And you will tell them when they ask that you elected Joe Biden the president of the United States.
Okay, Kamala Harris and the future vice president, hopefully, of the United States, Senator from California. Kamala Harris, by the way, would be the first woman of color ever to be vice president. And possibly down the line president, but that's quite an amazing feat. Of course, she would be the first woman, period, to be president or vice president. She's an American lawyer and politician, and she's currently serving as the junior United States Senator from California since 2017. And of course, she's a Democrat, and she is the second African-American woman and the first Indian-American woman or person to serve in the U.S. Senate. We haven't talked a lot about Kamala Harris, but we please understand that she is an amazing person, an amazing woman. Some consider her the most liberal member of the U.S. Senate. That may very well be true, but she's a fireball, and she'll be outstanding as part of the team. Joe Biden made a wise choice in choosing her, so we thank her. She said there, where were you at that moment, and what will we tell our children and our grandchildren what we did? Where we stood. Because right now, you're seeing a lot of people playing celebrities who are endorsing Trump. You see it on social media. You see this and that. In this episode, this is one of the few in recent times where we haven't played any clips, and we're not going to play any clips of Donald Trump. The reason is it's time to stop talking about him. Not only is he a disaster to our country, and not only is he a traitor to our country, he should be and hopefully will be after Joe Biden is inaugurated and Kamala Harris are inaugurated, he should be thrown in jail. And hopefully for the rest of his life, because he's the worst president ever and the most crooked ever. Where will you be? And remember, you're not alone. Please let everyone know this Tuesday, if you haven't voted already, send it by mail, absentee ballot, or voted early in person, go and do not be intimidated at the ballot place. Remember, under no circumstances are we going to let the Trump people try to intimidate us and try to say to us that, we're going to go to the polls with guns and we're going to do whatever. The police and the governors and the National Guard have to be ready. We'll be right back. I'm Eric Crossley. Welcome back for the second half and the last episode before the election, episode 31, Last Chance for America. Let me explain that if you don't already know from listening to this show for the past 5.5 years. Donald Trump and Joe Biden are facing off in right now the most important election in my lifetime and maybe in the history of the United States. Last Chance for America means that the Electoral College was responsible for getting this idiot as our president in 2016 and all the disaster that's followed over the past almost 4 years. Now is our chance to make it right. But we need to win the Electoral College. We need to win the popular vote by a lot. We need Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to be there on top. And we wanted to talk briefly a little bit more about Kamala Harris. Now, she also ran for president. She was unsuccessful, obviously, in that endeavor. She survived the primary relatively unscathed and emerged as the top candidate to be on Biden's ticket. She does eventually want to be president, and she has the ambitions of a president who can get a lot done. She is truly ready to go. And again, congratulations to her, our future vice president. Again, the polls right now, our prediction is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to win. And the national polls are showing right now about a 9-point lead for Joe Biden. By the way, the most composite polls from today that I've gotten show Biden up in Pennsylvania by 7 points, Wisconsin by 8, Michigan by 9, Arizona by 5, and North Carolina by 4, and Florida, Biden anywhere from about 3 to 5 points. So it's stunning and amazing. We're cautiously optimistic. We're going to keep our eyes on the polls. But again, that's our prediction. Our prediction didn't come true in 2016. Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote, but the Electoral College, which is a disaster we need to get rid of, we'll worry about that after the election, didn't go our way. We have, unfortunately, other news that's not so good right now. And this comes to us from CNN. The United States reported nearly 99,321 new COVID-19 cases on Friday, the highest single-day number of cases reported in any country in the world. The top five records in daily cases all occurred within 8 days, and an expert says he worries the upward trend will push hospitals past capacity. Because it's not just a matter of how many people are infected and how many people are hospitalized. It's how many hospital beds and ECU beds we have. The total number of US COVID-19 cases is now over 9 million, according to Johns Hopkins University. The US reported more than 1,000 additional deaths Friday. The US death toll as of today, Saturday, October 31st, is 229,818. On Friday, Iowa reported its highest single day increase of new cases. This means 31 states have had at least one record high day of new cases in October, according to Johns Hopkins University data. 31 states out of 50 had a day in October that was the highest number of cases. And that is startling. The most startling, though, some 46,688 COVID-19 patients were in hospitals on Friday, according to the COVID Tracking Project. That's up 63.2% from a three-month low of 28,608 just on September 20th. That was just about a month and a half ago. And the highest total since August 13th. Dr. Christopher Murray, director of the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, indicated we would have nearly 400,000 deaths in the United States by February 1st. Right now, we have about 230,000. That's almost double by February 1st. That's 3 months away. Quote, he said, the fall-winter surge could lead to a daily death total that is approximately 3 times higher now by mid-January. And the news is grim, it's startling, it's upsetting, and even more upsetting is the fact that Donald Trump is having rallies, and people are going to these rallies, and they're not wearing masks. After all this, we've been in this for, you know, nearly a year now. We really started hearing about this. Trump was aware of this back in January, so it's almost been a year. And they're having rallies. They had one in Omaha, Nebraska, just this past week, where it took hours and hours to get people out of the freezing cold, and a number of people were hospitalized. People have to start realizing, no matter who you're voting for, you've got to use common sense. And going to huge rallies with thousands of other people not wearing masks at this time is asking for death. But it's not just you, it's the other people you'll infect. So these people go to these rallies. What about there's children at these rallies? Not just in Nebraska, but in Pennsylvania. People are bringing small children. They're letting them bring them to open rallies with no masks. So this is insane. This is a red alert on red alert, okay? And our country is at stake, and we have to make sure Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are our next president and vice president. Now, we have another story that's come in, several stories come in, the attempt of intimidation. And while initially at the polling places, you know, it was thought that we're not going to see that much intimidation by Trump people, now we're starting to find out several days before the election at early voting that intimidation is happening. Also, according to NBCNews.com, President Donald Trump's campaign appears to be using volunteers to try and prove voter fraud while simultaneously asking courts to further okay restrictions in the key presidential battleground of Pennsylvania, where Joe Biden narrowly leads. That's according to State Attorney Josh Shapiro's office. Now, this is going to be a state-by-state basis, and it's going to be important for every state's governor, Republican or Democrat, to protect people voting at the polls at all costs. If that means the National Guard, if that means every police person you can get, every volunteer, anybody has to protect the voting. And we're going to see that, I believe, in the states that are battleground states. Because, frankly, for the Republicans, to intimidate at this point and try to steal the election will be the true end of their party. Now, Shapiro, again, is the Attorney General in Pennsylvania. He's a Democrat. He's investigating multiple disturbances between Trump campaign volunteers and voters who were filmed or photographed dropping off absentee ballots, according to the communications director, Jacqueline Rhodes. Early incidents like the one Shapiro's office are investigating has raised alarm about poll watchers, quote unquote poll watchers, the official party sanctioned kind, or simply people showing up to places where voting is taking place, in part because of the frequent statements by the president and the false claims by the president of widespread voter fraud and repeated calls for his supporters to, quote, watch the polls and stop the fraud. This has been Donald Trump since the beginning. He's made up. There hasn't been widespread voter fraud in this country. We've had very, very little voter fraud. Now we're seeing an attempt by the Trump people to intimidate people at the ballot box. This is going to lead to potential violence. We hope it won't. And historically, it hasn't. But my previous show was titled Out of the Woodwork, and I had to change the name because of what the chief of staff, Mark Meadows, said, that we're not going to control the pandemic last Sunday on CNN. But truly, they are coming out of the woodwork, and you're seeing them more and more. We have to understand that the president and probably the Republican governors are not going to do a lot to protect voters. So it's going to be up to everybody else to make sure that intimidation does not happen, that violence does not happen, and we don't end up going into a deep, deep civil war type of situation. After the Trump administration threatened to send thugs to poll locations in Philadelphia, Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Kramer said, quote, "We will not be cowed or ruled by a lawless, power-hungry despot." That's President Trump. quote, keep your Proud Boys, goon squads, and uncertified poll watchers out of our city, Mr. President. Break the law here, and I've got something for you. It's not time to say, well, you know, we're going to do the best we can. This is time to be front and center and face this president and the Republican Party and the thugs that are trying to steal this election, because this is serious now. Now they're out there. Now they're going to try to intimidate people. People may very well die. So we're not playing games anymore. This isn't a joke. We're seeing intimidation already in Texas. What's happened down there near Austin, by the way, just on Friday, was the Trump campaign bus. Several buses were surrounded by Trump people, and they were trying to run them off the road. And the police were outnumbered 50-1 on the road to Austin. The campaign appearance was stopped. The reason for that is, frankly, Democrats haven't been campaigning in Texas in recent years because it hasn't been competitive. Now that it's competitive, Trump and his people are trying to intimidate the Biden campaign. The Secret Service, the police, the National Guard, if necessary, the Army have to step in and stop this now. This cannot be accepted. We're past the point of no return. I'm past the point of placating Donald Trump and listening to his garbage. He's coming out today with more threats. We're not going to play him anymore. He's not going to be president anymore. January 20th, Joe Biden is going to be president. Kamala Harris will be vice president. They're going to be taking office. And Donald Trump will be going to jail, along with his corrupt family. His son, Donald Trump Jr., just yesterday, on Friday, said that COVID-19 has pretty much disappeared. That was the day we had over 1,000 Americans die on Friday. He said it's disappeared. Again, the Democrats are making this up. The president today said that doctors, this is what President Trump said, that doctors are inflating the death numbers of COVID to get more money. This is how low of a scumbag Donald Trump is. So don't pull punches. Don't try to placate people on the other side. And I'll say this much. Joe Biden said he'll support whether you voted for him or not. I would agree with that. But these people who are out on the road intimidating and trying to kill Biden supporters and people on the Biden campaign, they deserve to go to jail. This is intimidation and this is danger. Donald Trump's attacking the doctors, the ones that are on the front lines, because he's having these stupid rallies still, where it's endless amounts of people and they're being exposed. Joe Biden is, and we heard last from President Obama in the last show, they're having rallies, but they're having cars and they're spacing, they're social distancing. They're using common sense. There's no common sense on the other side. We're going to watch things very closely starting Tuesday and even before that. And we'll come on with special editions if we need to. But keep in mind, nothing is guaranteed. We're not guaranteed to win this election. I voted. Over 70 million people have voted. We have to make sure neither side is intimidated. There's nobody on our side intimidating anybody at the polling places. It's the Trump people. They're threatening. And they'll threaten and they'll do anything because their leader says that's what they need to do, because he told them there's all this voter fraud. I want to spend the last minute just talking about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Okay. Maybe Joe Biden wasn't my top choice necessarily for the Democratic nomination, but he'll be an outstanding president. Kamala Harris will be an outstanding vice president. The future of America does indeed rest with them and with you and with everybody, and making sure that Donald Trump does not end up being president again. The time between the election, when hopefully Joe Biden wins and Donald Trump is out of office, between Inauguration Day, is going to be another very, very interesting time we're going to have to watch carefully. For right now, please vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We have to save this country. This isn't a joke. This isn't a regular election. Everything is on the line. Our country is on the line. Our democracy is on the line. Everything we stand for is on the line. I urge you to please get your friends, go on social media, your family, talk to everybody you can. Don't placate the other side. We don't need to give them any more spare time. We need to get our message out And our message is, we are going to win. Joe Biden is going to be our next president. Kamala Harris will be our next vice president. And the nightmare of Donald Trump will be over on January 20th. Thanks for listening, folks. Please get out and vote on Tuesday if you haven't already voted. We'll be back with the next show, which we hope will be a celebration of a win. Thanks for listening. I'm Eric Crossley, Making a Difference, Last Chance for America, episode 31. Have a great day.